Matthew 26:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
The Lord be with you. Let us intentionally listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit among us this morning as we continue in our series of What is an Anabaptist Christian? Anabaptists have three sacred core values they follow. And if you know them by now, say them with me. Jesus is the center of our faith, community is the center of our life, and reconciliation is the center of our work. So being a Christian from an Anabaptist perspective is a combination of believing in Jesus, belonging in community, and behaving in a reconciling way. Today our focus moves on to the core value number three. Reconciliation is the center of our work. This is also the first Sunday of Lent. Ironically, these are the notes from the Mennonite Church USA magazine, The Leader, for preparation of this first Sunday of Lent. In church history, Lent was the time of last preparations for before Easter baptisms. Those who had made the decision to be baptized would spend this Lenten time in last-minute discipleship preparations, being mentored by other Christians who were further along in their journey of faith. A covenant was being enacted, a promise that these Christians would be cared for and loved in this community. Our annual Lenten journey is not just for those awaiting baptism. This Lenten journey is for anyone who is searching to understand better who they are and to learn how to discern life by following Jesus. A time to stop, to pause, to rethink. This Lenten journey to the cross is pointing to Jesus as the center of our faith. It is experiencing community as the center of our life. And it is placing and holding us accountable for reconciliation as the center of our work. God sent his Son Jesus as the solution to the problem of sin. Jesus came to reconcile all those who would respond to God and to each other. He addressed brokenness and injustice of all kinds and trained up a group of followers who became ambassadors of reconciliation. An ambassador is a person who acts as a representative or a promoter for a specified activity. In this case, reconciliation. And reconciliation means the restoration of friendly relations or the action of making one view or belief compatible with another. Does not mean it's the same. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught his disciples that peace and justice come through seeking first the kingdom of God, repenting of wrongs, and treating people as they would like to be treated. Don't just love those who love you, Jesus said. Even the pagans do that much. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Being a follower of Jesus means behaving in a new way. At the end of Jesus' ministry, he said, "As the Father has sent me, so do I also send you." And he instructed his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. One of the greatest challenges facing those early Christians was the racial, religious, and cultural conflict between the Jews and the Gentiles. And Gentiles are everyone who is not a Jew. After seeing people from diverse backgrounds being filled with the Spirit and coming together in the family of God, the apostles agreed that it was through faith in Christ, not laws and rituals, that people from different backgrounds would become one body and develop a culture of peace. For several hundred years, followers of Jesus refused to engage in military combat. They understood that they were under orders to love their enemies, not kill them. Then in the 300s, when Constantine began to merge church and state, major changes came into the church. Jesus had said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Yet Constantine was a king. Over time, the difference between the voluntary kingdom ruled by Jesus and the kingdom ruled by the emperor became blurred. The clear convictions of the early Christians were compromised. Within the church, some became rich and others became poor. Christians became persecutors. The former peacemakers went to war. And instead of spending their energies on evangelism, peacemaking, and ministry, enormous amounts of energy were given to constructing great cathedrals in nearly every province in Europe. Constructing these buildings became the center of their work. During this time, then, in the late 300s, Augustine, the influential theologian of that time, was very concerned about personal moral issues like drunkenness, covetousness, gambling, and adultery. But his teaching and practice related to peace and social justice were severely restricted because of his link to the empire. Instead of seeking reconciliation with enemies, Augustine came to believe that the Christian faith needed to be defended against their enemies. A just war theory developed, which permitted Christians in certain circumstances to participate in violence and war. This approach to war has remained the position of many Christian traditions. If we can conquer the real evil, then this is a just war, and we are keeping Christianity safe. Early Anabaptist Christians in the 1500s, under the leadership of Menno Simons and others, struggled to find common understandings of how to live as a body of Christ in the world. Menno believed that because of the work of the Holy Spirit and the commitment they had to one another, followers of Jesus could become Christ-like and behave in a Christ-like way. Anabaptists wanted their scriptures to be their only weapons. In their studies, they emphasized economic sharing. peace with God, peace with one another, and peace with their enemies. They believed that the Holy Spirit empowered them by being with them and giving them the courage in word and action for discipleship, evangelism, peacemaking, and the ability to live a simple life. Anabaptists also played key roles in promoting the cause of social justice. Their leaders and followers addressed many of the economic and social concerns raised by peasants who were revolting against the dictatorship of the feudal system. It was inconceivable that genuine followers of Jesus, who had been transformed by the Spirit of God and baptized into one body of Christ, would not share surplus goods or wealth with their fellow members in need. Menno Simon spent most of his life as a pastor to scattered and persecuted believers in the Netherlands and in Germany. He became the shepherd of the flock, of the flock without a leader. Most of Menno's writings were done on the run through letters. He tried to exist and to encourage others who were existing in that same kind of persecution to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Menno Simons was not the founder of the Mennonite Church movement, but his followers were named after him. Menno Simons lived February 26, 1496 through January 31st, 1561, and I am friends with him on Facebook. I text him happy birthday every year, and next week he will have celebrated his 528th birthday. We have 6 mutual friends, 2 of which most of you know. That is Jury and Kayla Fuller. And let me just a second. So you all know Kayla and Jury Fuller. But I also have, we have hundreds of connections to mutual friends. So that clearly means that we are part of the same social circle even today. There are many portraits of Menno that have been circulating since the 17th century, though none have been authenticated. But maybe his most well-known thought used today are his definitions of what is true evangelical faith. Let's open to number 921. Today we are going to listen and say and sing many different renditions of his true evangelical faith. Mona read one. Here's the second. True evangelical faith cannot lie dormant, but spreads itself out in all kinds of righteousness and fruits of love. Part one. It dies to flesh and blood. It destroys all forbidden lusts and desires. It seeks, serves, and fears God in its inmost soul. It clothes the naked. It feeds the hungry. It comforts the sorrowful. It shelters the destitute. It aids and consoles the sad. It does good to those who do it harm. It serves those who harm it. It prays for those who persecute it. It teaches, admonishes, and judges us with the word of God. It seeks those who are lost. It binds up what is wounded. It heals the sick. It saves what is strong. It becomes all things to all people. The persecutions, suffering, and anguish that come to it for the sake of the truth of Christ have become a glorious joy and comfort to it. Powerful words. The words that may be even more familiar to us are those translated by Larry Nicol. True evangelical faith cannot lie sleeping, for it clothes the naked. It comforts the sorrowful. It gives to the hungry food, and it shelters the destitute. It cares for the blind and lame, the widow and orphan child. It binds up the wounded man. It offers a gentle hand. Abundantly we have received, and gratefully we will respond. So overcome evil with good. Return someone's hatred with love. We must become everything to everyone. That's true evangelical faith. We must become everything to everyone. That is a lot. How could we possibly be everything to everyone? Of course, we can't possibly do that by ourselves. But what is impossible for us is possible with God. That's true evangelical faith. Next week, we will learn what our work is for reconciliation. What does that mean to us today? How can we help reconcile people to God, to each other, and be ambassadors of reconciliation in the world? This will also be our welcome Sunday for those who want to join our fellowship as members here at First Mennonite Church. Amen.